Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
51551, the text number, email todaycb at rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Well, it is not often that it can be said that a Stormont crisis resolves itself ahead of schedule, but in the early hours of this morning, Brandon Lewis, Northern Ireland Secretary of State, revealed that he had secured commitments from Sinn Féin and the DUP on the nomination of a First and Deputy First Minister. He said that if Stormont fails to progress the long-delayed Irish Language Act by the end of September, the British government will step in and take the legislation through Westminster. In a moment, I'm going to be speaking to Belfast-based journalist Amanda Ferguson to talk us through the deal and its political implications. But first, I'm joined on the line by Simon Coveney, Minister for Foreign Affairs. Good morning, Minister.
Morning, Philip. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you very much under the circumstances for joining us, because you're just off a plane from Doha. But I understand that you were involved in these discussions over the course of the night. Can you tell us how it all panned out?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think there's been a real focus by both governments, British and Irish, to find a way of working with the parties to get a deal done so that we wouldn't take this to the wire, because once Arlene Foster resigned as First Minister in Northern Ireland, legally, there's 7 days then for a new First Minister to be appointed. And I think Brandon Lewis in particular, but also I think everybody else, was very anxious to try to get this issue resolved before the weekend to provide certainty and stability to politics where possible in Northern Ireland. And so in order to do that, we had to ensure that the two largest parties, the DUP and Sinn Féin, would both be willing to propose a First and Deputy First Minister and that would be agreed in the Assembly. So what we have now is an agreement that the DUP will put forward a new name for First Minister. It will be Paul Given, that's certainly the expectation, and Michelle O'Neill will be proposed by Sinn Féin to be the Deputy First Minister. The reason why it has been very difficult to get an agreement for that to happen is that Sinn Féin and others have said, look, we cannot be expected to support a new First Minister in Northern Ireland unless key commitments of the agreement that was signed up to 18 months ago, called New Decade, New Approach, are actually followed through on. And perhaps the most difficult issue to get agreement on 18 months ago, and it took us 2 years, really, to get agreement on this, as well as a number of other things, as a basis for the executive to get back up and running, was around language and culture legislation, particularly the Irish language. And so Sinn Féin said that they would not support a new DUP First Minister unless they got clear commitments, either from the DUP or from the British government, on progressing the Irish language legislation that's been promised. Because we actually, not only did we agree in the NDNA agreement that there would be language, Irish language legislation, as well as legislation for Ulster Scots and to set up commissioners to promote both, but we actually agreed a draft piece of legislation as well to make sure that everybody knew exactly what they were signing up to. So that legislation has got to be brought forward. There have been obstacles at every step of the way put in the way to prevent that legislation being brought forward, despite the fact that the expectation was that it would be one of the first things done when the executive was set up again 18 months ago. So there's a lot of scepticism and a real lack of trust. And so what happened late last night, and I was on the phone from the other side of the world with Brandon Lewis repeatedly all week, but what happened last night is that the British government has said, look, the commitments in the NDNA are very clear in relation to
New Decade, New Agreement.
Rights and, New Decade, New Approach. We need to make sure that those commitments are now followed through on. And so what they've said is, if the new executive and the Assembly cannot agree to bringing forward Irish language legislation by the end of September, well, then the British government will legislate in a way that was agreed in October. So that essentially says to Sinn Féin and the SDLP and the Alliance and others.
You're operating with a safety net now if you can't reach agreement.
Effectively, but, on the Irish language piece of legislation now put in place. Now,
but while that's very reassuring on one level, Minister, that Westminster and Dublin are able to cooperate so closely given the state of relations in recent months, is it not also depressing, frankly, that, as Tommy Gorman was quite fond of saying, Northern Ireland still can't cycle the bicycle without the stabilisers?
Well, look, I think there's a real test of that now, because I think the strong preference for everybody, and I know that Doug Beattie, for example, the new leader of the UUP, has said that, look, this legislation should be done in Stormont, not in London, and we should get on and do it now. And I would strongly agree with that, that, you know, in many ways, for a lot of nationalists in Northern Ireland, this is really the test as to whether leadership within unionism can accept that Irish language is part of Northern Ireland, part of Irish identity.
But does it not also, Minister, set us up for 3.5 months of shadow boxing in what anybody says is not going to matter, because ultimately they know that Mother is going to come in October and pass the legislation?
Maybe so. And I think, you know, the reassurance is now there that regardless of what happens in Stormont, there's a backstop there now, and the legislation that was promised 18 months ago will be delivered, if not in through Stormont, through Westminster. And of course, that has happened in relation to abortion services and same-sex marriage as well. So if Stormont isn't able to agree to move something forward, there are examples of Westminster progressing legislation anyway. But I really hope that it will be possible to find consensus in this area. I think it would show a confidence within unionism and new unionist leadership to be able to recognise that Irish language is part of Northern Ireland, and for many people that's important.
And Minister, why is it that it is Sinn Féin and only Sinn Féin that is getting what it wants from New Decade, New Approach, and that unionists aren't getting all of the elements that they're supposed to be getting under that agreement?
Oh, well, that's not true at all, Philip. I mean, there are a whole range of things in the New Decade, New Approach that have been brought forward that unionists have been
asking. OK, but this deal specifically relates to the Irish Language Act only. There is no other...
No, it doesn't.
OK, go on. What is it? What is there in there?
So far, over the last 18 months, there was a commissioner to represent veterans in Northern Ireland that has been progressed. There's a project called the Castlereagh Foundation, which unionists specifically asked for, which is progressing. The number of days that the UK union flag can be flown over buildings in Northern Ireland has increased. And don't forget that the language and culture
But Minister, sorry, hang on a second. Specifically on this, the DUP was not threatening to withhold the nomination of a First Minister unless it got any of those things.
Because they're all done.
The DUP is not being catered for in this deal. It is just Sinn Féin that is getting something out of it.
No, that's not true. And, you know, there's enough divisive language around the place, you know, without us being inaccurate. That isn't true. This is a balanced package on language and culture. It involves the setting up of two commissioners, one to promote the Irish language, the other to promote Ulster Scots. So this isn't just about the Irish language. The focus politically has been on the Irish language, particularly south of the border. But of course, the commitments in terms of language legislation in New Decade, New Approach is about Irish language and its recognition. But it's also about Ulster Scots, which is an important issue for many in the unionist and loyalist community.
Your party leader was at your party Ardèche, which obviously you weren't able to attend, speaking about achieving a united Ireland in his lifetime. Can you honestly, in your heart of hearts, look to that with any confidence if you have to keep on, as Mary Lou McDonald said herself, stepping around the DUP to govern Northern Ireland?
Well, first of all, I was at the Ardèche and I was speaking at that session. I was speaking from abroad, but it was online, of course. It was the first ever Ardèche that we did remotely. But I was very much part of that session. And of course, I had seen Leo's speech before he gave it. So, I mean, really what this was about was the leader of Fine Gael and the Tánaiste using the first session of the Ardèche, which was about living together on this island and the future of this island and how we design and work towards that. And he talked about his view that he believed it was possible for reunification to happen in his lifetime. And then he went on to talk about how we should approach that very much from a Fine Gael perspective, which is one of openness, of generosity, to be inclusive, and to actually involve unionism and unionist thinking in how we design that future, or at least to reach out and try to facilitate that. And I think that is in stark contrast to how some others certainly are looking to pursue border polls immediately and so on, which is a far more aggressive way of pushing this agenda. So actually what Leo Varadkar was talking about was the need to have an inclusive and open and generous and outward-looking and modern debate around what the future holds for us all on this island and how we live and work together to achieve something that is stable and balanced and generous. And that is about reaching out to unionism as well as reinforcing the absolute legitimacy of the case that is being made by so many that actually our future can be more secure, more balanced, and more prosperous with reunification. But of course, the road to do that is one that is challenging and difficult. And certainly in the context of many of the challenges we face in Northern Ireland today, around the protocol, around even something like recognition of the Irish language, I think is a lesson for us that we need to tread carefully on this journey. But certainly Fine Gael as a party is very ambitious in this space, and I think you'll see us regularly talking about this. But you will also see our party trying to include everybody in that conversation.
If you can attend Ardeshina remotely from the Middle East, you can no doubt see the front page of the Irish Times poll as well, which puts Sinn Féin on 27, gaining 3 points, and your party down 3 points. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, it's the same reaction to most polls. You know, you have ups and downs, you know, as you go along.
It seems to be downs and downs mostly for you at the moment, though, doesn't it?
No, not at the moment. I mean, in the last poll that you quote, we're down three. But, I mean, Fine Gael has been in the high 20s or early 30s for the last 12 months. We don't get carried away when we're in the 30s, and we don't get too despondent when we're in the high 20s. I mean, the general election is a long way away. We have a lot to do to focus on protecting people as we continue with the challenges of COVID and as we plan for the future in a post-COVID environment where we have to get people back to work and we have to generate momentum in this country that can allow people to look ahead with optimism and certainty. And that's what we're focusing on. This poll, there's a bounce for Sinn Féin. Good luck to them. They are the main opposition party and they get a lot of coverage in that role. Mm-hmm. Our job is to make sure that the government does its job well. And what's encouraging about this poll is the satisfaction with the government, particularly on the big issue of how we manage COVID and the exit from COVID restrictions.
Okay.
It's very positive. And, we take some encouragement from that.
Simon Coveney, Minister for Foreign Affairs, thank you very much for joining us. I'm joined now, picking up on that agreement in Northern Ireland, by Amanda Ferguson, a Belfast-based freelance journalist. Amanda, that point that I made to Simon Coveney there, do you think that anything that any politician in Northern Ireland says now on the Irish Language Act over the course of the summer is going to matter a whit? Because we know that there is now this safety net in October.
Yes, well, stories in Northern Ireland never seem to end. But what we have heard from the Ulster Unionist Party leader, Doug Beattie, is that he would prefer it to come through Stormont so that unionist politicians are able to scrutinise the content of it. I think that if the politicians were smart, they could spin this as a win for everybody, but that's unlikely to happen. And certainly this isn't going to be an issue that goes away now. I think that Stormont is being shown up to be incapable of delivering whenever it comes to what what are described as contentious issues. And this is in the background that if it doesn't, go through Stormont, that Westminster will step in. But that is the same, has been the same around equal marriage. Mm-hmm. It's also been the same around women's reproductive rights, and the full women's reproductive rights piece hasn't actually been delivered yet. So certainly today will be interesting, and I think that's why you're seeing the speaker scrambling to speak to the party whips and trying to get the First Minister nominations done, I believe, after midday.
What has Edwin Poots said this morning? Has the DUP been able to extract any kind of a win from this?
Yes, well, I think that what Edwin Poots can say is that his argument was there should be no preconditions attached to nominating the First Ministers, that Sinn Féin had wanted the Irish language issue to be dealt with by June 24th, and he refused to do that. So he can argue that to an extent. I think that some of the language used this morning, Edwin Poots said that he wasn't prepared to have a gun held to his head. That was language that Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonnell took issue with. But she was on the airwaves this morning, as you know, saying that in her view, the DUP are consistently blocking rights, and that they are saying something publicly which is different to what they're telling Sinn Féin privately, that they weren't going to legislate for Irish language rights. And essentially, Mary Lou McDonald has said that that she's calling them out on that, that they'll not stop change. But it certainly doesn't bode very well. Edwin Poots is having a bit of a nightmare start to his DUP leadership, and it certainly doesn't give any inspiration that relations are going to be particularly chummy or, happy families up on the hill if they do manage to get through this First Minister process in the next couple of hours.
That was my next question to you. Would you like to try and speculate on what the working relationship between Michelle O'Neill of Sinn Féin and Paul Given of the DUP as Deputy First and First Minister is going to be like?
Yes, well, Sinn Féin has said throughout that it's up to the DUP who they choose in the First Minister role, that they'll work with whoever is nominated. I know that Paul Given was a feature during the collapse of the last devolved government over his decision to cancel an Irish language bursary for disadvantaged young people. Although, it has to be said that while there was a lot of criticism of Edwin Poots and of Paul Given, the DUP have been shown to be practical in the past. They were part of the team that negotiated the New Decade, New Approach deal, that negotiated all of this cultural package that includes Irish and Ulster Scots and, a cultural office. I think that there's a sense, perhaps, that there's a lot of issues that frustrate the DUP and perhaps frustrate some of their supporters that they don't really have control over. It's not within the DUP leader's gift to, scrap the protocol or to stop the tide coming in on women's reproductive rights or on language rights. But it certainly doesn't sort of make for a very good start. But, it's time for the politicians to pull their big boy and big girl pants on and get down to the business of responding to all of the matters that are exercising the public and that need to be addressed through a New Decade, New Approach.
We'll see, we'll see. Amanda Ferguson, thank you very much for that. Coming up after the break, house prices and the central bank to look at mortgage lending restrictions.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.